Few Americans paid much attention to voting methods until the 2000 presidential elections showed that even tiny punch card chads can make a difference. Now all voting equipment is getting intense scrutiny, especially those electronic touchscreen machines. A new exhibit at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History shows that worries about voting security and accuracy are as old as the Republic. NPR's Pam Fessler went to the exhibit, Vote, the Machinery of Democracy.
Just to give you some idea how complicated American voting has become, the Smithsonian has a map, a big map all across the floor. It details what kinds of machines are used in each of the nation's more than 3,000 counties. The result is an incredible patchwork of color.
Green is for optical scan, purple is electronic. We have a kind of an orangish melon color for pre-scored punch card. Light blue is lever.
Larry Bird is the curator of the museum's political history campaign collection.
And then the last is yellow for mixed.
Standing over the northeastern United States, Bird notes that a few states use only one type of equipment, but most are multicolored.
The most variegated state, I would have to give it to Michigan.
That's because Michigan is green, yellow, orange, blue, and purple. Things have evolved in this rather haphazard way because local officials generally buy the equipment. The amazing thing is even after the messy Florida election led many jurisdictions to get rid of their punch card machines, Americans still vote on just about every kind of system ever used. Bird says that includes slipping paper ballots into boxes, like some here on display from the 1800s.
There's a round, almost a galvanized box that came from Tulare County, California. Anything can be a ballot box.
And how secure were these votes?
There are people involved in elections.
And that, says Bird, means there's always the potential for fraud. He takes us over to what looks like a simple wooden ballot box with a hinged top. It's a reproduction of equipment used by some San Francisco voters in the 1850s.
And you look at the inside, it looks perfectly okay, but it has a false bottom.
He pulls on the molding along one side of the box, and out slides a drawer.
This is where ballots would have been hidden. They could have been mixed in with the general population of ballots that had been legitimately voted without opening the lock.
But concern about fraud also led to innovation. By the 1800s, many wooden ballot boxes had been replaced by glass containers, where presumably there could be no false bottoms. In the early 1900s, with immigrants and women joining the electorate, officials wanted something that was not only secure, but could count a large number of ballots quickly. Bird takes us over to a tall metal machine, encircled by a brass rod with a dark green curtain.
We're standing in front of a wonderful gear and lever voting machine.
He says the beauty of this equipment is that voters could cast their ballots in private, and the act of opening the curtain at the end actually triggered the recording of the vote on counters at the back.
But what I like about this kind of machine is it has a real feel to it. It has a real crunch to it. When you open that thing, you know you voted. In fact, I'm going to operate it.
Bird can't resist showing how it works. He climbs over a barrier and enters the booth, pulling on a short pole to close the curtain.
Now we're inside.
Once inside, you can see several long columns filled with candidates' names, a tiny lever beside each one. To make a choice, you simply pull the appropriate levers. When done, you open the curtain, and your vote has presumably been cast. But Bird admits even the gear and lever machine had problems. Sometimes the counters got stuck on the number 9. And the equipment is cumbersome and expensive. You don't have to tell Don Bengel, a visitor at the exhibit from Porter County, Indiana. He's a former poll worker who dealt with the gear and lever machine.
They're monsters. Cost you a fortune to move these things. They're big, like 3 refrigerators. Now the little boxes in the suitcase.
And indeed, says Curator Bird, the computer age brought a whole new wave of voting options. There's the Vote-O-Matic, where voters poke holes in a punch card next to the names of their favorite candidates, and optical scan machines, which read cards on which voters have marked their choices. More recently, voters have cast their ballots on touchscreen machines. Bird says the advances, designed to fix one kind of problem, have often led to others.
It's not just one continuous improvement over the years. You take two steps forward, sometimes take a step or two back.
Take the punch card, for example. A slight alteration by Florida's Palm Beach County in 2000 produced the infamous butterfly ballot. It was supposed to be easier for voters to read, but many found it far more confusing. Go to the Smithsonian and you can see for yourself. The latest innovation, computerized touchscreen voting, is also controversial. Voters touch their candidate's name on the screen, review a digital image of the ballot, and then push the word vote to electronically record their selections. Byrd clearly finds this a little unsettling.
No receipt, no paper record.
Obviously, that's the big debate today. Can you trust these machines?
Well, it's like the Soviet Union. You know, you trust but verify.
And that's what lots of people would like to do, add a paper ballot to the touchscreen machines as backup. But critics say that could lead to other problems, such as paper jams. Here at the Smithsonian, visitors seem resigned to the fact that no system is perfect. Debbie Bradfield of Plumas County, California, lines up her digital camera to take a picture of the old gear and lever machine so she can show her friends back home.
That is incredible.
She says it's so old-fashioned compared with the touchscreen machine she uses, and she's not real confident it would be any more reliable.
I just have to have faith that, you know, we're on the right track and we're doing it right. And there can always be controversy about everything. So I'm comfortable with the way we vote in Plumas County.
In fact, most of the dozen or so visitors here say they're quite content with their own voting systems, no matter which they use. They're more intrigued by how many colors there are on the map on the floor. The voting exhibit will be at the Smithsonian through the end of January. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.
And you can see the voting machines now on display at the Smithsonian at npr.org.